before we get a handle on what's going on, not just in Chicago, but across the country.
Chicago police say 15 people were shot in separate incidents just yesterday morning in the Lawndale neighborhood. Police have deployed additional officers to try to stop the shootings and prevent retaliation.
There's a new number one at the box office over the weekend. USA Radio Network's Wendy King runs it down.
You guys have to work together.
No way.
This guy's a real ass.
The top movies at the box office over the weekend, Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw at number one, grossing $60 million. Dropping down to number two, the remake of Disney's The Lion King at $38 million. At number three, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at $20 million. Number four is Spider-Man Far From Home with $7 million. And dropping down to number five, Toy Story 4, also at $7
million. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, it's Joe Peters, and we're getting started a few minutes late this morning or this afternoon because we did have something else going on, but it's about 10 after 4. My name is Joe Peters. I'm broadcasting to you from scenic downtown Flemington, and we're going to talk about real estate matters. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to do this session is give you my monthly recap as to what's going on and why it's going on. So with the fact that I'm starting a little bit late, I'm going to give you a respite, and you're going to hear my introduction one time, and then we'll get right into the show.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, hey, once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. It is exactly 4:15. I am doing this show on August 6th in Flemington, New Jersey, in 2019. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a recap as to what happened last month, and I'm going to get in a little more detail as to why it happened. And this is from a real estate viewpoint. We're going to first talk about Hunterdon County and talk a little about Somerset County as well. Last full month sales, ending the end of July, we had in Hunterdon County, and I'm looking for the recap on it while I'm talking, 160 sales, and we had 960 items on the market house-wise. We had 214 added over the month before, and we sold 160 of them. In that same month, some of them expired, and some of them were withdrawn for various reasons. Some of them sold. So this is sort of a real-time number. It keeps changing. It keeps moving. And in effect, I think what you're going to see is that we're sitting with about 6 months' worth of inventory. And 4 to 6 months is a normal amount of inventory. That means things are acting the way they should. Sort of the rainbows are out, the birds are singing, the butterflies are flying. Things are normal. You get above 6 months inventory, and that means we've got pressure on prices. You get a below 6 months inventory, and that means we've got multiple offers. It's sort of a seller's market. So buyer's market above 6 months, seller's market below 4 months, 4 to 6 is normal. We're sitting right at 6, so it's a fairly normal market. If you look at what's happened over the last 15 years, it's been so long since it's been normal that we can't recognize it a lot of times. For the period of time between 2002 and 2006, we were out of sight those 5 years of prices going up 15% a year. Then in 2007, it started to suffer, and that went on for about 5 years. And prices were coming down, great numbers of coming down, great amounts. And then in 2012, we started to build back up again, and we were doing 5, 6% price appreciation each year. Now we're getting to the point where it's normal, and it's been so long since it's been normal that most people don't recognize what normal looks like, and it's not a bad thing. So we're looking at the year that we're in Hunterdon County, probably having a 3% price increase, where last year was more of a 5%. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's house is going to go up 3%. It depends where you're located and what your price point is. If you're in the under 400 and you have a nice clean house, it probably doesn't matter where you're at, but the real key areas in Hunterdon County that do half our business are the key areas surrounding Clinton, all the way down to surrounding Flemington, which is Clinton, Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan. You get out into the Amwells or over into the Alexandrias and Hollands, it's a little tougher. But then you got to couple that with price point because, as I said, under 400 is a very popular market. You get above 400 to into the 550s, it's somewhat of a normal market. Things are happening there at a normal pace, and you get above 550 and we slow down considerably. Let's just look at what happened in Hunterdon County for the last 30 days, the 30 days ending the end of July. Almost 60% of our houses sold were under $500,000. 35% were between $500,000 and $1 million, and 6% were over $1 million. So in Hunterdon County, if we take a look at it, we had 6 months supply or less all the way up to 500. It got into 7, and the 600s got into 8, and above that, it's quite high. Still giving us an average of 6 months, but houses selling over $1 million, we had 64. We sold three, divide one into the other. That's how you get the most supply. We had almost 2 years supply. Houses selling in the 900s, we had well over 2 years supply. So depends where you're at, depends what your price point is. Then we take a look at the same time at what did houses sell for. So the hot spots were 62% of our sales were in the areas that I mentioned, and in effect, I'm making sure I've got the right numbers out here. 60%, 2% of the sales were in the areas that I mentioned, but in effect, we had some real hot spots. The town of Clinton only had 12 houses for sale, but four went under contract. We had 3 months supply. Lebanon Borough, 7 houses for sale, sold 4. These are places people want to live. If you take a look at Alexandria, you got just the opposite. 58 houses for sale, we sold 6. That's a 10-month supply. Bethlehem Township, 32, and we sold 16. So what I recommend you do is you take a look at my site, which is jpeters.com, and you'll find a newsletter that looks something like this. I publish it and email it out on a monthly basis, where there's a click-through capability of getting a copy of it, or at least browsing it online. And take a look at where your house fits in your price point. Because just because we had 5 months supply and a 300 to 400, I guarantee you, if you looked at that price point out in Holland, it would be a much different picture. And then by town, we've got some towns that are really having a tough time. Delaware Township, 13 months. Holland Township, 35 houses for sale. We sold one. That's an anomaly. But even if we sold two, it would be an 18-month supply. Lebanon, we had 49 for sale. Lebanon Township, we sold two. That's 2 year supply. So it depends on where you're located and depends on your price point. Hunterdon County, though, in general, is doing okay, and Somerset County is doing even better. So let me talk to you a little bit about Somerset County. Somerset County has 1,528 units for sale, where we had 968. There are about 50% more units. We sold 160, they sold 430, and they had 442 come on, we had 214 come on, about half. They're at a 4 month supply. And in most of their price points, all the way up for 700,000, are under a 3 month supply, which means it's a seller's market. Things are happening out there. They're cranking away. About 60% of their sales were under 500,000, and they had some hot spots as well. I mean, they had the same thing when they get into the over a million. We actually have 8 month supply, over a million in Somerset County, but that's pretty normal. It takes longer to sell larger houses. Their hot spots were Bernards, Bridgewater, Franklin, Hillsborough, Montgomery. Think about that. compared to our hot spots, Clinton, Clinton Township, Raritan, Reddington, they're sort of contiguous if you looked at them all on a map. It's about where people want to live, about an hour from New York. That's as far as they want to come anymore. As a matter of fact, they don't even want to come that far, and we're going to talk a little about that. But the difference between Hunterdon County and Somerset County is this. Somerset County is closer to New York, and people will pay more to live closer to New York. As a matter of fact, a lot of people have decided they want to live in Somerset County but can't find what they're looking for, and as a result, they settle for Hunterdon County. It's a much more bucolic, open space county. In Hunterdon County, you're going to pay about 20% less than in Somerset County, and you get about twice the property. Or to say it backwards, you're going to pay about 20% more to live in Somerset County and get about half the property, same size house. So we've got some issues. But first, we've got some statistics which we got to talk about, which are the economic drivers. For the first time in 3 years, and this is good news, we've seen an improvement in the inventory situation over the past 6 months. Still below what we need. Let's hope that's just the beginning of a trend. Not the below what we need, but we've seen increases in inventory. Still low numbers lead to a bit of softening in price appreciation on existing homes and a slowdown of growth. And turning the tide back, the buyer's market, or at least neutralize it, which is what I said before. So increases in inventory have occurred at all price points above 400,000. 400 to 600 being the largest, 600 to a million being the second, over a million the third. In the 200 to 400, which is where we need inventory, we've actually seen decreases. And the reason is there's only so much inventory. We're not building anything at the bottom brand new. Tell me the last time you saw a townhouse development go up in the last 10 years in Hunterdon or Somerset County and sell houses between 200 and 400. It just isn't happening. At the same time, we're seeing sales go up because we're seeing inventory go up, and we're selling quicker. So you can say, well, we've got less inventory than we did a year ago, 10 years ago. We actually, from 2011 to 2019, that's 8 years, we've dropped in inventory about 40%, but we're still selling more houses. How can that be? How that can be is that we're selling them much quicker. Where we used to sell 7 or 8 months, we're now selling in 2 or 3 months. So as soon as something good goes on, it sells. It's because we're starved for inventory and the shelves are empty at the lower price points. So we needed inventory, we needed interest rates to hold, and we needed jobs. So the second phase is inventory is in good shape. That's point one. Interest rates are holding. We're sitting at 3.75% right now. You probably, with excellent credit and good job history, can get a 3.5% interest rate. It's better than it was last month. And next month's probably going to be better than this, merely because of the fact that the interest rates at the prime level have dropped. And it takes a while to trickle down to mortgage rates, but it gets there. It typically hits interest rates on credit cards and auto loans first, and then mortgage rates. It's sort of a trickle-down philosophy. But they've dropped. A 15-year conventional is somewhere around 3.2, and a 5-year is somewhere around 3.5. So 3.75 for a 30, depending on your credit. Consumer fears of further interest rates and slower rising home prices are driving the current market demand. The Fed appears to have interest rates on hold for the first 2 quarters, but has actually lowered it a little bit in the last quarter. And that would be the beginning of the third quarter. And we're hoping to see another lowering of that as time goes on. So, point one, we got a little more inventory. Point two, we got great interest rates, probably the best we've seen in 3 years. Point three, we got jobs. On a national level, U.S. had 2.7 million jobs in 2018. U.S. unemployment rate came in with 244,000 jobs added. An unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.7. That's because more people came back into the market because there's jobs out there. At the end of June, the U.S. had added a little over 1 million jobs and around 1.4 over the versus 1.4 the prior year. But we're on course to add more jobs this year, and it looks really good. At the end of May, there were 7.3 million job openings and nearly 5.9 million unemployed people. You say, how can that be? Well, we have people trained in the wrong skills. We have jobs where we don't have people. There's always a certain amount of people that are unemployable due to illness or health or education or other concerns. Typical 3% unemployment, which is what that represents, is just that. It's typical. So, three things. We have inventory, we have interest rates, and we have jobs. And in New Jersey, the jobs picture is even rosier. We added 39,000 jobs in 2018 as compared to 47,000 the year before. The New Jersey unemployment rate fell to 3.5, the lowest it's been in over 10 years, bolstering consumer confidence in New Jersey is doing well. In effect, it's rising with the national tide, but I got to admit, I think we're doing okay in New Jersey at this point. Based on the first 6 months' results, we're going to add 25,000-plus jobs in 2019 versus 17,000 for the year before. That's a nice increase. That's a 50% increase. And the level of jobs we're adding in New Jersey is better. They're not only better jobs, they're better paying jobs, and better paying jobs will lead to people can afford to buy a house eventually. And most of those jobs are within commuting distance to New York City. So just in general, if you painted the state a color, the counties that are commutable to New York within an hour are where most of the jobs are appearing. The counties that further to the north, further to the west, and specifically in the south are not doing that well. And that's because you cannot get to where the jobs are. So as a result, we're seeing different trends in different areas of the state. Rental market, we have an 11-year high in availability. That's an amazing number. What that says is we built too many rentals. And I predicted that several months it was going to happen. I think it's starting to take fruition. It's more in the east than in the west. But rental prices in New Jersey rose 5% last year and are just over $1,600 per unit on average. Current vacancy rates are now just under 4% statewide and 2.7% in central Jersey. The rise resulted in part by a rapid increase in building of apartments in this sector. The pace of new rental construction has increased to meet the demand and now seems to have caught on. As a matter of fact, it may have surpassed. So we're going to have a glut of rentals at some point in time, but I think at the same time we're going to have more and more people needing rentals because they can't find what it is they want to buy. I can't tell you how many people I talk to as I sit through an open house that are out looking to buy because are renting today because they couldn't find anything to buy. And sometimes it takes that for the first couple of years of marriage, or sometimes it's just I can't find what I want, so I'm going to rent until I can get it. And then you start spending more money disproportionately on rentals to the point you're not accumulating enough to buy. And that it's not a good trend, but it's what's happening. Rental trends, rental market trends. We have seen 11% increase. I read that already. Foreclosures. This is good news. New Jersey continues to face high but falling foreclosure rates, dropped to 2.1%. Other states have begun to already have recovered. In a tight real estate market, these foreclosures sell at a small discount. Note, the figures vary by local market, but areas hit by Sandy are prime for foreclosures because a lot of them were abandoned as they wait for insurance claims. And New Jersey right now is ranked sixth with number one, New York, number two, Mississippi. New York's got 2.1%, Mississippi 2.7%, and New Jersey's 2.1%. rank in a country, and the country is 2.1. New York is 2.7, Mississippi 2.4, LA 2.4, Maine, same, and then Jersey 2.1, and then followed by Florida, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and such. Foreclosures in 2018 were the lowest state in over the past years, 4 years, and 2019 looks even better with 42,000 foreclosures. Last year we had 66, the year before we had 76. We're going in the right direction on foreclosures. So let's talk a little about what we're seeing in market trends. First of all, economic conditions. Nationally, it was the eighth straight year of 2 million plus jobs last year. We have more people working than we've had in a long time. We're now in our longest economic expansion, over 100 months of positive job gains, and the GDP is still rising, although the rate that it's been increasing has slowed a little, a sign that maybe an adjustment's in place are starting to take place. At 3.5% unemployment, New Jersey's now near the national average, which is 3.7. And leading economic indicators in New Jersey are now surpassing the nation almost twofold. That's great news. New Jersey is doing good. And when I sat here a year ago and read these statistics, it was just the opposite. The nation was doing good and New Jersey wasn't. So we're catching on. But I think to a great extent, the tide rises all the boats at the same time, and New Jersey is just one of the boats. I think to another indication, I think we've gotten a little better within the state as well. The best-paying jobs and the most attractive jobs are in New York City, pulling money and our millennials in that direction. And wages are up about 3.2% in New Jersey. Interest rates have dropped surprising lows, and house prices have risen a little bit. So if you take a look at a person contemplating buying a house, and let's say at the beginning of 2000 and mid-year 2019, they can afford a house at 3.75% and they're shopping for a $500,000 house, but they can't find anything. And by the time they do get to where they find it, the interest rates have gone up a point from 3.75 to 4.75. They'll have lost 9% of their buying power, and that 9% of the buying power will have made what they could afford at 3.75 at 500 only be a 455, what they could afford at 4.75. Secondly, the house prices are going up, even at 3%. A $500,000 house is now going to be $515. So a $425,000 house is now going to be $440. We're seeing a 1-2 punch here where the cost of waiting is a real cost. Interest are taking its toll. Prices are taking a toll. As a result, there is sort of a frenzy, especially in the lower price market, to get out there and find a house. So not only are we seeing these economic conditions, we're seeing changes in lifestyle. The average age is now mid-30s for marriage, up 7 years from just a decade ago. Families usually only have one or two children due to the cost and the ability to choose. 70% of all New Jersey homes only have zero children of school age in them. So 7 out of 10 houses, or the families in 7 out of 10 houses, don't need a big house. And 50% of them don't have two people in them. So what does this mean? This means that if we're trying to sell a larger house, we've lost 70% of the market that needed a larger house several years ago. They're not having as many children. They're not making as much money. As a result, it's getting harder to sell larger houses. Job opportunities, buyers are gravitating to areas 15 miles within New York City and good mass transportation systems. They don't want to drive anymore. They want to get on a train or a bus. They want to get into New York in less than a half hour, and they want to be able to walk that a train or bus on both ends. In New York, it might be a subway, but in most cases, people find a way to commute either midtown if you're working midtown, downtown if you're working downtown. 80% of consumers still perceive homeownership as the right thing to do. It's part of the American dream. It's just what they want to buy or rent that has changed. Builders have been thinking larger four-bedroom center hall colonials on an acre or more, and buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rise because there's not that large of a family or earning capability in some instances. And as a result, all 60% of all the new construction last year in New Jersey was in the rental-only apartment sector. So we talked about economic conditions, good shape. We talked about changes, a drive towards smaller families and smaller residences, and to some extent to the rentals and to high-rise luxuries, and that's both at the millennial level and at the senior level. It's just that the millennials want to be closer to New York, and the seniors probably want to be still where they're at or maybe to the west, but they're looking for the same thing. Luxury living, multi-level, high-rise, and they don't necessarily need to own anymore. It's a big change right in itself. We're experiencing a sales slump in late 2018. I say we did experience a sales slump, and that's because we had two interest rates when, according to some, they shouldn't have happened. It appears that we're now entering the next phase of our housing cycle, which is still active, just less robust. And it's sort of a cool down from 2018, or maybe back to normal, as I mentioned earlier. And we see some warnings of the economic slowdown, stating that 2020 and beyond, we may take an adjustment as interest rates are once again raised to curb inflation. However, these warnings are not holding back sales activity. We may just see fewer sales and a little less price appreciation as a result. We're still active. I can tell you 2019 first half has been the best half year ever in real estate. We're about 1% above the year that was last best. And the second half of 2019, especially since it started off of an interest rate downward adjustment, is now being forecasted to be better than the first half. And think about it. The first half had the spring season in it. The effect on housing seems to be limited to curtailing growth and price appreciation. I said that already. In general, homeowners are sitting on more equity. In New Jersey reports 92% with positive equity, and they're no longer using their equity as an ATM. They're not borrowing against the house to buy boats, to buy second houses, or to pay off college education to some extent, all of which are now no longer tax deductible. So that's probably part of the reason. But in general, we're not borrowing against our existing homes the way we were back when we got into the financial situation that we got into 10 years ago. Consumers' confidence seems to be all-time high on a nation level, and in the recent stock market increases in the last week, it's been somewhat of a roller coaster, but it depends on the day of the week that you look. The market hit new highs last month. Most consumers still see home ownership as a sound investment, so the investment side didn't go away. The confidence is reflected in buyer traffic, and since we have less houses for sale at the low end, we have less buyers, but it's being held off by a lack of inventory, but it's still there. I can tell you unequivocally that if we had more inventory in the 200 to 400 price point, we could sell twice the houses that we're selling right now. That's where first-time buyers and millennials want to buy, and we simply haven't any inventory on the shelf in most cases. Affordability. If you take a look at amount spent on housing versus amount earned, we're in great shape. We have a lot of discretionary income where we can actually buy a little more than you typically would. We're seeing some resistance because people don't want to get burned in case one of the two finds a financial situation at work. But in effect, the affordability factor is in great shape. Millennials are now making up 35% of our current homeownerships. It could be 50% if we had enough to sell them. Central New Jersey's trend in early 19 shows an increase in home sales. And but price increases only in houses based under 400K. 500 to 6, somewhat normal. Above 6, you probably got pressure. Actually seeing the prices go down, the higher up you get. Because we're adding inventory where we don't need it. But that's good because some people are moving up and selling the smaller houses from beneath them. The over 400,000 market holds steady to diminishing slightly. And often when a 600 house goes on the market, it's competing with a 700. And it had to be lowered because the person has either had to sell it because of a transfer, a marital situation, a death in family, and couldn't sell it, and is now competing with the lower market. So we're getting some push down from the top. Minimal new construction. Lack of entry-level new construction based on affordable housing. What do I mean when I say that? Affordable housing is income-restricted housing. And we, as a state, have to build 200,000 units by 2025. And no matter what city or township you live in, you will see this as a hot topic of conversation. We're rushing to meet the state mandates, but at the same time, we're also not building what we need because of a lot of financial considerations. I urge everybody to get out and go to a planning board meeting in the next year and just listen to what's going on within their county, because I get a lot of people saying, we're not going to let this happen. We're going down to the next planning board meeting. No, I'm sorry. These decisions were made 3 and 4 years ago, and it takes that long to turn the ship, and now they're being put into place. Like I said at a meeting in a high-end town up in Somerset Hills where they announced that they were going to put 36 units up on an old A&P yacht. That would be affordable housing, a lot, I should have said, affordable housing units. And the question comes, well, who chooses, who goes in there? Us, I hope. And the answer was, hell no, the state chooses. Analyst five-year forecast indicates slow but steady price over the next 4 years. We're not seeing, unless we hit a horrible recession, and we don't see that. We see an adjustment coming because we can't progress as the rate we're going without the market taking somewhat of an adjustment. We don't see increases going away. We just see them slowing down. And they may slow down because of slower sales, and they're going to slow down in real estate about a year before the market slows down because people are going to sense in their jobs this is not the time to buy. And it depends on the price point. Let me repeat the price points. 200 to 400. We don't have much under 200. 200 to 400, red hot, shelves are empty. 400 to 600, normal. We have maybe a tad more inventory than we should for this time of the year. 600 to 800, starting to soften. Above 800, definitely soft. Everything above 600 is feeling pressure on prices, or at least a pressure to get it listed at the most accurate price possible, or else it's going to sit on the market for a long period of time. We could sell more houses if we had more inventory. Well, it's pretty simple, but it's the problem we're faced with. And in 2018, prices rose an average of 3.5%. 2019 looks like a 3% year. Maybe a little better because it's doing really well out there, but it depends on your price point and it depends on your location. And once again, I'm telling you, if you have a $300,000 house in Clinton Township, Reddington, Raritan, it's going to sell immediately. It's clean inventory. You have a $300,000 house and you're in Alexandria, the Far Reaches, or Holland, or the Amwells, it's going to take longer to sell because there's that. It's a supply and demand thing. But if you have a house over 600, no matter where you're at, the market is not what it was a year ago. And one last thing, mortgage delinquency is normalizing. We're not seeing people getting into trouble the way they were 10 years ago. Let's take a look at what happened 10 years ago. We lent money to people that should have never had money lent to them. And as a result, a lot of people leveraged themselves out. By that I mean borrowing against assets they had to buy more. thinking that this would never end, and it ended. And a lot of people got burnt, and people aren't doing that again. So we're not seeing people borrowing against their house the way they used to. We're not seeing people in the market speculating the way they used to. But we are seeing the investors return to the market, which is a good sign. Those people will buy one, two, three rentals and keep them as part of their portfolio of investment. That we're seeing. And I work with a half a dozen of people who buy one, maybe two investment properties a year, or maybe better said, in the course of 18 months to 24 months. But all of those people have a plan. And the plan is to accumulate three or four investment properties, somewhat local, not in the same development or the same building. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. But get it to the point where you're breaking even on a rental. You can do that at about a 1% break even. So if you can buy it for $150,000 and get $1,500, which is 1%, you're going to break even, a little bit of positive cash flow. The HOA fees, because a lot of them are townhouses, are to be considered. You got to consider insurance. But you get appreciation out of it. You get some positive cash flow. And then when you go to sell it, you're getting depreciation each year. You've got to consider the recapture rate, and that depends on how much appreciation you got. It may make sense or not make sense to sell it. So what's our forecast? Our forecast is the economy will continue to prosper with no recession currently in sight for the next 18 to 24 months. Depending on the day of the month, the stock market is up or it's down, but in general, it's in great shape. And there most likely will only be a slowdown as the form of the next recession, and it won't impact the rate of the earnings we've already made on appreciation of a house. It'll only impact how much that appreciation goes up in that year. Prime interest rates will probably not climb too much further in 2019, and as a matter of fact, we just in the last 2 weeks had a drop, and we're hoping for another. Home prices will rise by an average of 3% during the same period. This will depend on your price point and location, further decreasing your buying power. And the most bullish projections are saying at least a 7%. Now, bullish means very pessimistic. So the most bullish are saying you're going to get a 7% increase over the next 3 or 4 years. That's not bad. Because no matter what you buy, for every 100,000 you buy, you're going to have 7,000 in appreciation. If you look at the bear, those are the bear projections. If you look at the bulls, they're much higher. Supply is going to remain tight, especially in the popular price points. Many new jobs seem to be resulting from the Tax and Jobs Act. Just look at try to go through the front door of a retail or food chain and not see a help wanted sign. And that's going to get exacerbated by the fact that all the college students are now leaving the retail and food outfits to go back to college. We're actually paying $15 an hour minimum wage. We don't need to change in Hunterdon or Somerset County the state minimum wage. We're paying $15 an hour when you go into a major retail organization because we're out of people. That's back that we have 7 million jobs open and 6 million people available. We now need to match the skills of the unemployed to the job openings we have. And that means retraining. The affordability index shows there's still room. We can sell more houses. We just had them. Some high-end fallout has resulted in residential due to the SALT decisions where you can only have $10,000 in deduction. But quite honestly, all the income levels slid down at the same time, and you would have to be making multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars above $250,000 a year before that affected you. If you're under that, you're probably getting what was intended, which is an increase in your a decrease in their tax and an increase in how much you're taking home. People in their homes over 10 years have a very positively home equity built up, because once you get to the 10-year mark, you're starting to pay much more down on the equity of your house than you are on interest. And because we used to sell houses every 7 or 8 years, and now a lot of people enter a house 12 or 13, they're surprised to understand how much equity they've got built up in their house. Small investor activity in the market is up. That's good. In a lot of cases, these are flippers buying houses and are deemed unsellable, the condition they're in. They're improving them a little and putting them back on the market, helping with the low inventory. So it's a good point that we're seeing this. Note that all of this information is presented by a public service by myself, Joe Peters, of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. I took reasonable precautions for presenting this information. Please consult with a professional sales agent and take no actions based on my opinions, gather trends, or statistics. I assume no liability. I kind of have to say that, but what I will say is, if you're thinking about doing something, if you're saying maybe buying a small investment property wouldn't be bad for my portfolio right now, I've got a lot in stock, and if it could just about pay for itself, maybe I can take the next bonus and buy $150,000 property, like Joe says, and rent it for 15 and make $200 or $300 a month on it. I can help you figure out how to do that. The interesting thing is that in Hunterdon County, we get almost the same rents as you get in Somerset County, but we get 20% less in property purchase price. So if you're going to buy, you probably want to buy in Hunterdon County. I've actually found people all the way over in the middle of Somerset County and brought them back to Hunterdon to do some real estate investing. Another thing is, a lot of people are sitting there waiting for the house to get back to where it was at the peak. Well, the peak was artificially high. And sitting there waiting for it to come back is wasting your life. You want to get on with your life. You want to get on with what you want to do today. And you want to do it today, not 5 years from now when the house finally gets back. That's an artificial excuse that you're setting up for yourself. We're probably, depending where you're at price point-wise, within 10% of where we were at the peak. And it's probably just about as good as it's going to get if you're over $500,000. I wouldn't wait. If you're below $500,000, it's probably either close to or past the peak, especially under $400,000 in Hunterdon County. I help people achieve their goals and dreams. And there is nothing better in my estimation than seeing the smiles on people's face at the closing table as they hold up the keys and say, take a picture of us. It's what I do for a living. It's what I enjoy doing, helping people to get to a point where they couldn't have gotten to without my help. And I've been doing real estate now for 15 years professionally. I did it for 5 years prior to that as an investor. And I've sold hundreds of houses, both through buyers and sellers and resales in the central New Jersey area. I cover all of Hunterdon and all of Somerset County. I know the differences between them, and I can help you achieve your goals and dreams. If you'd like to talk to me directly, 908-238-0118 is my direct line. Give me a shout. If I'm not already talking to somebody else, you can probably be surprised to pick up the phone and talk to you. I'm easy to talk to. I'm not pushy. I help you understand what it is you want to do. I lend my expertise to you understanding the current market situations. And between us, we can get you to the place you want to get to. The only other thing I can think of at this point in time that I should pass on to you is, I think that either as a buyer, because interest rates and prices are going to go up, or seller, especially in the above 600, because we're probably going to see prices drop, it couldn't be a better time to be in the market. We have buyers. It sounds like the second half of the year is going to be very, very brisk, just like the first year it was. If you're thinking about selling, let's get to talking. Even if you're not thinking about it until after the first of the year, and I've got two customers I'm already talking to that are 2020, we're going to have to learn to say that, 2020 sellers. And we're talking now. We're going to fix that step. We're going to power wash the house. We're going to replace the foyer because the tile in the foyer is Dark Ages, and we're going to get the house ready for market so that the weekend after Super Bowl we can put a for sale sign on the front yard and get going. And as a buyer, couldn't be a better time. I've got buyers that are looking in the first quarter of next year, but I'm sending them listings today so they understand what's on the market. My name is Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker. I'm going to play my introduction one more time, and I'll be back next week with a guest. Talk to you then.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The FBI is now treating the Garlic Festival murders in Gilroy, California, as a domestic terrorism case. FBI Special Agent in Charge John Bennett explains why they opened it.
We have to determine that individual's ideology caused them to commit the act of violence in furtherance of their political and social goals.
President Trump will travel to Dayton and El Paso on Wednesday following the deadly mass murders over the weekend.
The president and the first lady want to go into these communities so that they can share in the sadness, but also share in the anger and try and come up with some solutions and talk to people on the ground there.
White House spokesman Hogan Gidley also says the president wants to talk with those affected by the shootings and also wants to praise first responders who saved lives in both shootings. Your final numbers on Wall Street, the Dow gained 312 points to close at 2630. This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
China is again retaliating to President Trump, saying he's placing more tariffs on Chinese goods. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
China is saying it's no longer purchasing any U.S. agricultural products because of the escalating trade war. A Chinese Ministry of Commerce spokesman saying it's because of President Trump's plans to impose yet more tariffs on Chinese goods on the 1st of September. China's been one of the largest buyers of U.S. foreign products.
A Detroit mother of seven was shot and killed while attending a barbecue as a fight breaks out over shoes following a basketball game in a park. The guy who lost the game was supposed to turn over his shoes, but instead he pulled out and fired a gun. One bullet hitting and killing Frankie Marks. Her mother, Sherry Scott, says the family is torn apart.
You're hurting families. You're hurting your family. We have kids here who will never know their mom. They're going to grow up without a mother.
One other person was shot, but he is expected to survive. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. The halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light, to split the night and touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words.